All right, Proverbs chapter number 30. Now, I've got to tell you this. I brought this lesson 6 years ago here. I keep track of what I preach. Nobody else knows what I preached. Even last year, you couldn't tell me what I preached here last year. But I want to keep track so I don't go back and preach the same message. But I did preach this. I taught it, I think, in Sunday school. I don't know if we had the teenagers. Probably did. But think about it. How many of you are 16? You're 16. You were 10 years old then. So how many of you are 14? All right. How many of you don't know how old you are? All right. We got two down here. We got two. You're in the wrong class. There's an educable slow class downstairs. All right. Proverbs chapter 30. But I'll tell you, there's something here for everybody. I mean, not just for teenagers, but for all of us. When the kids were going out today, I was sitting there just watching them. I've got 14 grandkids now. And I just told my wife, I said, I love kids. They're going out. Some of them look at you and smile, you know. But then I was thinking, too, I love older people. I love older people. I always have. I was telling somebody at the door today, Brother Eric, he was helping people get out of their car and get in the building. And I said, I just love older people. I said, I'm becoming one real fast. But even when I was a young man, I loved older people. And we had a ministry in our church in Kentucky called the Young at Hearts. Met every month, got the older people together and had a meeting. But I love everybody in between too. I just love everybody. I must have that old time religion. Makes you love everybody. Amen. But I sure am glad to be here. And you do make us feel like we're part of the family, and I thank you so much. Let's look at Proverbs 30, verse 24. And I'm sure you've heard several messages on this. But since I taught it 6 years ago, the Lord has given me some more material. You know, I'm always looking for new material, new illustrations and things. And so some of this will be brand new. And some of you may look at your Bible. You may write down when a preacher preached it. And you may say, well, I remember that. I remember him preaching that same message, but it won't be exactly the same. It says in Proverbs 30 and verse 24, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. God doesn't just say they're wise. He said they're exceeding wise. That gets my attention. And then he begins to tell the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Now, I'm going to go through these, and I want to give you the word that goes along with each one of these. And you can write that in your Bible or if you make notes. But I'm going to stop at the spider, and I'm going to spend a little time on the spider because I always run out of time before I get to the spider. I probably did last time here. So I want to start with the spider. But on our way, you can write down the ants are exceeding wise because of preparation. They know how to prepare. And then we come down to verse 26. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. And I don't know how many of you know what a coney is, but I do remember preaching one time near Cincinnati. And I said, I've got a cash prize for anybody who can tell me what a coney is. And a little boy, about maybe 10 or 11 years old, his hand shot straight up. I said, son, what is it? He said, a hot dog with chili on it. Cincinnati. They had Coney Island. They've got Skyline Chili there. But that's not what the coney is here. The coney is a little animal, I just say much like a rabbit, just defenseless. Little furry creatures, you can still see them in some parts of the world. But they are wise because they make their houses in the rocks. So they are wise because of fortification. They fortify themselves in the rock. And the old enemy comes by, can't get to them because they're back there hidden in the rock. Fortification, preparation, then fortification. And then we come to the locust in verse 27. The locust have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Now, what does that mean? They have no king. They don't have anybody who's the head honcho telling them what to do. But by a God-given instinct that God put inside them, these locusts go forth, all of them, by bands. That word bands, if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means ranks, like an army marching in ranks. They stay together in ranks. And, you know, we call them swarms, a swarm of locusts. We don't have them in America anymore, but other countries still have swarms of locusts that will come in and descend upon anything green, a field, a plantation, whatever it is, and they eat every green thing in sight, then they move on to another location. So we would call them a swarm of locusts. But in church language, we're not a swarm here today, are we? We're a congregation. We're staying together. We're together here today to worship the Lord and hear the word of God and praise the Lord. But we're a congregation. So these locusts, they stay together in a congregation. So you got preparation, you got fortification, and congregation, they're wise because they stay together. And then you come to the spider. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. And I'd like to have a word of prayer. Father, I pray you'd help me as I bring this lesson. I pray you'd help everyone in here to really pay attention. And I pray, dear Holy Spirit, you'd fill me and let every word be ordained of God. Don't let me get off on a track or a trail that's unnecessary. But Lord, please don't let me leave out anything that needs to be said. Lord, you know the needs that are here today, and you may have me say something I've never said before. You might have me leave out something that's unnecessary here today. Lord, just guide every word. And Lord, give these dear people ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, amen. By the way, I love amens. I just love amens. They help me. And so if you want to say amen, even if it is Sunday school, you feel free to say amen, all right? And all right, let's start with the spider. And the first thing you notice is that the spider taketh hold with her hands. Why does it say her? We're focusing in on the female spider because she ate her husband. He's gone. He's out of the picture. Really, she lays all these eggs and then she needs protein and she eats her. Now, that's a scientific fact. I think my wife doubted it one time and fact checked me and said, it's right. They do. Now, not all of them do, but you've heard of a black widow. You know why she's a widow? She ate her husband. And I just want to throw this out. I just want to throw this out to wives here today. No matter how much you need protein, don't eat up your husband. But you say, how could a wife eat up her husband? Well, with criticism, by second guessing everything, you can destroy your husband by not allowing him to be the leader God made him to be. You know, there's no doubt about it. The husband is the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the home. There's no doubt about it. If you don't like that, you'd have to tear several pages out of your Bible. And a husband may not be all that he should be. But you wives would be very wise if you follow the word of God and let him lead. And one woman said, if he led, we'd lose everything we've got. Well, after you lose one or two things, he's going to wise up a little bit. And he's going to realize, I made a bad decision there. I better do better. He might even start seeking God more than he does. Let him lead. Don't eat him up with criticism and second guess every decision that he made. And that's just a little side note today, all right? The spider taketh hold with her hands, and she's got a lot of them, and is in king's palaces. Now, what does that mean? I've heard two different interpretations, mine and another preacher. And I'm going to go with mine on there. When one preacher said he thought the king's palaces referred to a spider's web. Oh, boy, I just had a terrible thought. What if Brother Jerry preaches that? If he did, he's right and I'm wrong, okay? But he said that spider's web is so beautiful. It's like a king's palace. But I don't think that's what it means. I think it means a real king's palace. And that spider is there. She took hold with her hands, and she is in king's palaces. And my friend, you could come along, you could tear, and think about a king's palace. There are janitors, maids, all through there, knocking down webs. They don't want a spider's web in a king's palace. But I guarantee you, you could go in there, you'll find some. You could go to the governor's mansion. You could go to the White House. There's a lot of strange creatures in the White House these days, but you could go there. Somewhere in there, you'll find a spider web. And you know, I believe the reason is that spider is determined to be there. And the maids and the janitors, they strive to eliminate all the cobwebs. But their desire to destroy all webs is no match for the spider's determination to build them. Now, I know this firsthand because I was going in one time to a furniture factory where I worked over in Kentucky. And I was going in the back gate where they kept all the barrels of stain and lacquer. And I went in that back gate and I walked right into a spider web. Everybody here's done it. And whether you'd admit it or not, for about 10 seconds, you went insane. For about 10 seconds, you're going. And you're wondering, is that spider still on the web? Is it on me? And finally, I looked up and thank the Lord. She was up there looking down at me thinking, what an idiot. And she's not on there. So I got cleaned up. But the next morning, I was going back in. And I was going in that same gate, but I thought, I'm not going to make that mistake again. So I got to that place at that gate, and I looked up, and I saw something probably you've never seen. A spider taking down the web. It was amazing. Those arms, they were just going out there, and that web was just disappearing. It was something to see. And, you know, there was a little caption above the spider's head. And I don't know if you've ever seen that or not. But you know, the little bubbles go up, and she's thinking, I'll take this down before that idiot walks into it again. But you think, I guarantee you, after I left there and went to work, maybe after everybody went through the gate, she built it back. Because she found a good spot, and she was determined to stay in that spot. And I want to say the spider is exceeding wise because of determination. Now, you may have a better word. This is a Bible church. I know that. You've heard a lot of Bible preaching. And I say, if you've got a better plan here, if you think there's something better than what I just laid out, but it does need to end in T-I-O-N, all right? But some of you may come. One person did come and said, you know what I think? I think the better word is location. Location. But that kind of interferes with my point right before that, so I'm not going to use that. I'm going to say determination. My friend, there's something very wise about being determined. There's something wise about getting your mind made up. I like that old song, I've got my mind made up, my foot's on the rock. Amen. Amen. I like that. We might sing it today. Amen. My mind's made up, my foot's on the rock, and my mind's made up, and I'm going to serve God if nobody else does. I'm going to be faithful if nobody else is. I'm going to dress like a Christian even if nobody else, even if my whole family doesn't do that. I'm determined I'm going to dress like a child of God. I'm determined I'm going to be a child of God. I'm determined I'm going to be a witness for the Lord and hand out tracts everywhere I go. By the way, what a great idea, handing out these Christmas tracts. We do that everywhere we go. We use chick tracts. And somebody today might not be familiar. You say, what is a chick track? Well, it's a track just for girls. No, I am kidding there. No, a man named Jack Chick wrote these tracks, and I love them. Sometimes people are reading this before we get out of the store or out of the restaurant. They've got it open, reading it. It's illustrated like a comic book. And we hand those out. And I found out something. You could use this. When I go through a drive-through. You know, I like to give the waitress or whoever hands me my food a little tip. And then I always used to give just one track. But now I give them five tracks, five of these chick tracks. And I say, here's something for you. Would you give one to the other workers? And I've never had anybody turn me down. And they all say, sure, especially after I give them a tip. They say, sure, I'll give them out for you. So I've just put them in the ministry. And four or five people out there are going to get a gospel track that I will never see. And so just an idea there. But there is something about being determined. And I've met some determined people. I think one of the most determined men that I ever knew in my life was a man who went to our church in Iowa, and he was blind, totally blind. And he was kicked by a horse when he was 12 years old. And at that moment, he went totally blind, never saw again. And you know, we're living in the day of disability, and I got to tread carefully here because I know, you know, that's become an accepted part of American life. When something goes wrong in a person's life, a lot of Americans just think immediately, well, I can't do anything else. I just got to go to the government and get disability. But that man retired from John Deere. He went to work for John Deere and worked, I guess 40 years. That man was so determined to live a normal life that he even went hunting. He had a special gun, and somebody would stand behind him with this special gun. The barrel went over his shoulder, and they would tell him where to aim and when to pull the trigger. And he had some mounts on his wall. One was a boar, a wild boar that man shot. And from what I understand, if you go wild boar hunting, you don't want to miss because it's coming right after you. But I'm just going to throw that out. That man was determined. He had a truckload of determination. I may be blind, but I'm going to live like anybody else. And he got married. He had children. He even lived on a farm. And I don't know if I'd go this far, but they said he drove his truck around the farm. They said it had a lot of dents in it. Determination, there's something about it. And you know, I look at that man, now he's in heaven. He can see now, praise God. But I think, man, he was my hero. It's one of my heroes, determination. And well, I want to go back now to the ants and say that the ants are wise because of preparation. They know the winter's coming. They know there'll come a time they can't get out of their hole, and they can't gather food, so they do it when they can. They prepare. They know the winter time is coming. This is not the only time that the book of Proverbs tells us to look at the ant. In Proverbs 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, lazy person. Go to the ant. Consider her ways and be wise. And take a look at the ant. Have you ever seen an ant standing still? I don't think I ever have. They're always moving. By the way, the Bible says, go to the ant. You know what? All you have to do is have a picnic. They'll come to you. And you can study them right there at your picnic. Sometimes they'll come right in your kitchen. I've had them in mine. But they are wise. The Almighty God says they're exceeding wise because of preparation. They prepare. They prepare. And there's so many things as a child of God. If you're not a child of God, you better prepare to meet your God. Amen. Get Jesus Christ in your heart and get saved and prepare for that day when you'll stand before Him. But if you are a child of God, we ought to prepare for each day. We ought to get up in the morning and meet with God. You say, I think I heard that last night. You probably hear it again tonight. Get up in the morning and meet with God. That's one of the wisest things you'll ever do. Get your heart prepared for the day. Get your spirit prepared for the day. Get dressed. How many of you got dressed this morning? Well, you don't have to raise your hand. I can see you did. But there's another wardrobe over in the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. As the elect of God, put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing, forbearance, forgiveness, and above all, put on charity. There's a wardrobe that God tells us to put on. You know, it'd be a good idea to just put it on every day. Just get up in the morning, and I've kind of gotten a habit of that. I've got those memorized. And when I thank God every morning for my wife, I immediately say, "Dear God, help me to love my wife as you love the church. And Lord, I pray you'd help me to put on vows of mercies and kindness and humbleness of mind for my wife's sake, as well as everybody else that I'll meet and do business with. Help me to put these on." You know, if we ought to be kind to anybody, we ought to be kind to our wife. If ladies, if you're kind to anybody, you ought to be kind to your husband. But I remember preaching in a meeting one time, And a young man, there were several missionaries there, and a young man hit the altar weeping. And I had preached on that, the wardrobe, the neglected wardrobe of Colossians chapter 3. And that young man hit the altar weeping. I remember I put my arm around him and his body was just heaving. He was a missionary. And he said, "My wife said to me just the other day," she called his name, and said, "You know, you're kind to everybody except me." And God broke his heart that day. And God opened his eyes. Get dressed in the morning. Get up. Prepare for the day. Get dressed. Put on that. Ask God to help you put on that wardrobe. Get prepared for the ministry. Everybody ought to have a ministry. I thank God for Brother Eric. Is that right? Standing at the door. Where is he, by the way? Is he here, in here? Okay, in the back. Standing at the door, and I said, I just watched you going out helping some older people get in the door. And I said, I thank God for that. He said, "I love this job." He said, "I love this job." You know what? Everybody ought to have a job. Everybody can't preach. Everybody can't sing. Everybody can't teach Sunday school, but there's something you can do. You say, "Well, I don't know what it is." You go to the pastor and ask him. He's probably got a list this long of things that need to be done. But be willing to do anything. But my friend, we ought to prepare for the ministry that God has for us. We ought to know the book. Amen. That's the best thing you can do. Prepare for satanic attacks. They are coming. And the devil will never notify you when he's coming. The devil, for you deer hunters... And those who are well acquainted with deer hunters, you know how they've got those sights on their bow, and they can get that, put it on that certain point. And then if it's with a gun, they've got that scope, and you know they're scoping out that deer. But my friend, the devil's scoping out you. The devil's got you in his sight, and you never know when he's going to pull the trigger. Job had no idea when he got up that morning what would happen that day. The Bible calls it the evil day. But you can be prepared. You can be prepared for that satanic attack by knowing the Word of God, memorize the Word of God, spend time every day in the Word of God, spend time on your knees saying, "God, deliver me. Fill me with the Spirit, Lord. Guide every step that I take." And get prepared for the day. You young people, get prepared for marriage. Get prepared for marriage. Well, you say, "I don't have any prospect right now." Get ready anyway. You never know when he might appear. Or she. Get prepared for marriage. You girls, learn how to cook. Amen. I ought to get some amens there. Learn how to clean. Amen. Learn how to keep house. Learn how to be a good wife. Spend some time in the nursery. Learn how to take care of a baby. Amen. You young men, learn how to work. Learn how to make some money. One of these days you'll have a family depending on you to make some money and pay the bills, and learn how to lead. Amen. Learn how to lead, because that'll be your job as a husband and a dad. And you girls, let me go back to this. Learn how to cook.
Amen.
Don't be like the couple I heard about. The guy took all he could take, and finally he said, I just wish you could make biscuits like my mother. Whew, that's fighting words. But she was ready. She said, I wish you could make dough like my dad. Amen. Get prepared. Get prepared. I got to move on, but say that, get prepared for church. How many of you just got up, got dressed, ate breakfast, got in the car, drove here, never even prayed? God, meet with us. Lord, help our preacher today. Lord, give me what I need. Lord, we need your presence in our church today. Lord, save souls today. Spend some time getting prepared to come to the house of God. And don't just come in. I know I'm going to hit somebody right between the eyes, but you need to be hit right between the eyes. When you come into church and you just plop down, you don't say hello to anybody. You don't shake hands with anybody. You wait for everybody to come to you. You ought to go around and be friendly. And especially on the lookout for visitors. And go to them and say, thank you for coming to our church today. You know, if people come and they have about 20 or 25 people come and welcome them and make them feel like they're welcome, they'll probably come back. Amen. Get prepared for church. Get your heart prepared. We sang one time at Marion Avenue, my family, and as we were going down, Brother Brown came to the pulpit and he said, you know what? You can only receive as much as your spirit is prepared to receive. You can only receive as much as your heart and spirit are prepared to receive. So you ought to spend some time before you come to church and get your heart prepared to receive what God has for you. Now, I got 5 minutes for the conies, and I got 5 minutes for the locusts. The conies, they are wise. They're not just wise, they're exceeding wise. Here's why. They're defenseless. They don't have big sharp claws. They don't have sharp teeth. They're just about like a rabbit. And they know that when that coyote comes around or that fox, they're no match. In fact, that's one thing that makes them so wise. They realize their own weakness. They realize their weakness. And they know, I'm no match for that coyote. I'm no match for that fox. I'm no match for whatever comes along that wants to eat me. So the best thing I can do is learn how to hide in the rock. Amen. Do you ever sing that song, The Lord's Our Rock, in Him We Hide? A shelter in the time of storm. Did you ever hear that song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me? Let me hide myself in thee. Learn how to hide in the rock. Learn how to hide in Jesus. Learn how to let Jesus fight the battles for you. And know how weak you are. And they also knew the enemy. They know who the enemy is. You need to know who the enemy is. You need to realize we're dealing with a diabolical devil. He does not play by the rules. And he does not give any warning when he's coming. And so know about the enemy, but also know where the safe place is. You say, well, what does it mean? How can I hide in the rock? Well, let me just give you some illustrations. When you're doing this in the morning, it's good to read the Bible anytime. My wife and I read at night. We read together at night. We pray together at night. But in the morning, I know where to find my wife. In the morning, she'll be somewhere on her knees, or she'll be somewhere sitting beside the bed, and or she may be sitting somewhere with her Bible open, or she's either in prayer. And that's wonderful to be married to a woman like that. Amen. But when you've got your Bible open and you're reading the Word of God, my friend, you're hiding in the rock. You're hiding in the rock right there. When you're on your knees in prayer and you're talking to the King of Kings, you're talking to the Lord, you're communing with Him, you're worshiping Him. He, you know, prayer, you don't just get things from God. That's the wonderful thing about prayer. You can actually get things from the Lord, supernatural prayer power, but it's that fellowship with God. When God's doing something in your heart, while you're talking to Him, He's talking to you. While you're reading your Bible, the Bible's reading you. And that you're hiding in the rock. Right now, you're hiding in the rock, being in the house of God. You're hiding in the rock. Just get in the will of God. Get in the will of God. Live in the will of God. And my friend, you're hiding in the rock and you'll be safe. God will bless you. You're in good company when you do too. Say, well, that sounds cowardly to hide. Hey, the man after God's own heart. The man who brought Goliath down. He knew how to hide. Saul was after him. Saul and his army. The king was after David. And here's what David said. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. In the time of trouble he shall hide me. I flee unto thee to hide me. Thou art my hiding place. That's the man who brought down Goliath. But he knew when to hide. And he knew where to hide. And God protected him and took care of him. And so now we go to the hot dog with chili on it. No, that's the coney. We go to the locust. And the locust is wise because of congregation. Congregation. Stay together. And I just want to plead with you today. Stay in church. Stay in church. Whatever you do, don't get out of church. Don't let anything get you out of church. If sickness takes you out, get back as fast as you can. The horrible thing about COVID in 2020, it got many people out of church and some of them never came back. Some of them did not have the wisdom of a locust to realize, I've got to get back in the congregation. It just does something for you. Just singing together, listening to the word of God, coming to the altar. Fellowshipping, it does something for you, something we've got to have. We've got to. No wonder God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. My friend, we can see the day approaching. Matter of fact, I see more than one day approaching. I see the day of the downfall of America approaching. We're losing our freedoms. We're losing. And we're going down. And I pray, God, please don't let us lose our freedom. Continue to have mercy on us. But my friend, we are going down. And we better be prepared to find out what it's like to be persecuted. We think it not strange when persecution comes. It's coming to America. It's already happened in some places. And we need to be in the congregation. And I want to say to you young people, and I know I may ruffle some feathers here, but you know I'm an evangelist. We come in, we ruffle feathers, and we drive out of town. And we don't have to worry about it. But you know, there's some that I know are locked into jobs that sometimes you have to miss church. And I'm not going to go there. I'm just going to say that's between you and God. But I want to say to our young people here today, don't take a job that'll take you out of church. Don't do it. Just don't do it. I made up my mind many years ago. I'm not going to take a job. And I remember putting down on applications, at a place that had a swing shift. I said, "Will not work Sunday." And I knew I wouldn't get the job. I knew I wouldn't get the job. But I think I got the smile of God. And God has blessed my life. Staying in the house of God, God has blessed my life. And he's blessed our marriage. I thank God for my children. All my children are somewhere in the house of the Lord. This morning, scattered out all over the place. But they're somewhere. Or they will be somewhere in the house of the Lord today. And I praise God for that. Stay in church, whatever you do. Stay in the congregation. All right, let me give you a quiz now. The answer, wise because of? The conies are wise because of? The locusts are wise because of? And the spiders because of? Amen. Well, let's learn from the little creatures. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Lord, what other book on the face of the earth could take some insects and some little animals and teach us such lessons? of life. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would lodge this in every heart, and I pray it will not be forgotten. In Jesus' name, amen.